We thank God for giving us this opportunity to share His word, and at the same time, I thank Pastor Peter for just asking me to stand here in his stead. You know, as I always say, a preacher is not someone who's like very special, someone who is like outside of the community. And I always say, appreciate the way we have our setting here, because the preacher comes from the community. So it's not someone who's sitting here and then he's facing you, you must receive from him. At the same time, as I said, I always say, if I can stand here and bring the word of God, it's because you or us as a community have asked me to go to seek the mind of God. What is the word of God for us who are here? And obediently, I went to see God, and I believe that there is a message for us. And this message, the title of it is, "By His Wounds or by His Stripes, We Are Healed," or "We Have Been Healed" in other versions. Why do I speak about this? It's because this is a topic that is very controversial, because there are two extremes. Almost you have some people who say no healing again, physical healing, especially physical healing in our time, because that ended with the apostle time. And there are those who go so further to the extreme. They say healing is the right of every believer. They say, as long as you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit, you must be healed. Then it's a problem. I'm trying just to respond to that. I'm just trying to deal with this issue of physical healing. And what is the real meaning of "by His wounds we are healed"? Are we healed physically, or are we healed spiritually? This is what I'm just trying to deal with in this sermon. As it is there, that is our scripture of the day. Actually, I should have started with the Old Testament. I like starting with the Old Testament to finish with the New Testament. But today you will see that I will start somewhere there in my introduction with the New Testament, but we'll end up with this one, because it's very important. So this is our reading scripture for the day. As it is there, I'm reading it now. "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and they like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and was esteemed. We esteemed him not. Surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all." That's from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1 to 6. Actually, it's good to read the whole chapter 53 of Isaiah. So that is our main scripture that we'll be dealing with later on. But I would like just to conceptualize the word healing. Here, when are we speaking about healing, I want us to take it as restoration. It means something went wrong, and now we need restoration. They fix it. They restore it. Because what I believe is that in the Garden of Eden, something went wrong. When Adam and Eve, instead of just obeying and remaining in what God told them to do, the way God asked them to live, they listened to a stranger, to the devil, and The consequences are that we became separated from God. We became sick. And sin is the biggest disease in our world. Sin is destroying a lot of lives in our time. Just sin. If people are killing each other, if people are fighting in different countries, if we see a lot of problems in our time, it's because of sin. Even in South Africa, people are crying out. The government doesn't know what to do. Why? Because there is a disease. People are killing each other. People are after money. People are stealing. People are hating each other. And all of this, it's because of sin. So only God can restore. And we need that restoration that comes only from God. And that is what I wanted first us to understand, is as I deal with this concept of healing, I want you to bear with me that healing, we let take it as restoration, because something went wrong, something is wrong, there is something that must be fixed, must be restored. So God will come later on to restore the relationship between him and his creation. As we move now to my introduction, I want just to introduce this topic of today with Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. You know the story. The story is all about that lame man who could not walk by his own, and four men, I don't know, brothers or neighbors, or who, I don't know who they were, but they helped this man. They took him on a mat and brought him to where Jesus was, because they knew that Jesus was somewhere there. And when they came, it was difficult for them to go in because of the people. Therefore, they decided to go up. They made a hole up on the roof, and from there, they descended their friend or brother, whatever, down where Jesus was teaching. And that is the story. And when he was there before Jesus, Jesus said, "My brother, your sins are forgiven." Because of what Jesus said, it caused a problem, a storm with the people who were inside the room. Because for everyone who was in that room, this man was brought to Jesus not to be forgiven of his sins, but to be healed. That was there in their mind. But Jesus says here, the way Jesus handles this situation shows that what was most important for this man was not his state of being lame, but it was sin first. He has the problem of sin. So Jesus said, let's do the first thing first. And the first thing was to tell him about his sins. At the same time, telling this man that your sins are forgiven is telling the crowd that you also need to be forgiven. So Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And now people who were there, they said, oh, what is this again? What is he doing? They bring him someone, he sees that this man is not working. But now him is talking about the forgiveness of sins. Then Jesus asked a very simple question. Very, very important question. He said, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, and then it goes like that. So, when Jesus realized that in these people there is a problem, they are after their physical healing. They want to see this miracle. They want to see this man restored. But they don't understand that it is much easier to heal someone than to see someone his sins forgiven. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, healing can be done to anybody. Even if someone doesn't believe in Jesus, he can be healed by God. But the main problem, we church, we are not here just to heal people. We are here to bring people to the kingdom of God. That's why you see there's a problem. Many churches nowadays, they found their ministry on healing. Because people have problems, and what they say is what I'm trying to deal with here. They say, as I said it, as a child of God, born again, you need, you deserve to be healed. And they always quote this scripture. Even myself, I was there. I was believing this scripture. I was saying that as a child of God, because Jesus was wounded, then I must be healed. But later on, as I go through the word of God, trying to understand it, I have come to this point to say, no, that's not true. It's wrong. And I said, it's good also to share it with my brothers and sisters. So, he said, the problem of this man first is his spiritual status. He's separated from God. I can heal him. There is no problem. But what he needs the most is his relationship with his Creator to be restored. Therefore, I've started where I am supposed to start. And it is easier to tell him, just stand up, take your map and go. It's not a problem. There's no problem. The problem is sin. That's why even nowadays there are churches, if you go, you speak about sin, they say, there are some churches, some preachers say, don't preach about sin. Because people, when they hear about sin, they will run away and they will never come. It's a problem. We are a church, we are the church of Jesus because of what happened in the Garden of Eden and because of what happened on Golgotha. Because there are two things. There the relationship was broken, but this side the relationship was restored. Therefore, as children of God, we are the church of Jesus to look after the lost. We must call sin, sin. We cannot be afraid of that. Even if we can only have two people, yes, it's okay. It's not about the numbers. Because now people, what they want is to have big numbers. Why? I don't see any reason for that. We must tell people what they need to hear. What they need to hear is that God sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross so that if you believe in him, you are saved. God accepts you through Jesus. There is no other way. It's only through Jesus Christ. So that's why, my brothers and sisters, this is just my introduction because maybe because of time, I must also make sure that I balance things. Otherwise, it's a problem. Time also, it's another problem. Yes. So, this is what happened there in this story. So, they obviously, we see that there are two kinds of healing. They wanted the physical healing, but Jesus gave first the spiritual healing. Your sins are forgiven. Let God deal first with your sins, then with your situation. Let your situation come second. The situation of your sin is what is going to destroy you. It's what will separate you from God forever and ever. We all need that first. So there are two kinds of healing. One is spiritual and one is physical. And we see it from what happened to this man they brought to Jesus. And as the Bible says that the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. So, sin results in death. But the gift of God, Jesus Christ, results in what? In eternal life. So God has given us already the best. You know, There are some slogans in the church. They say, the best is still to come. And people, we enjoy it. Even myself, for some time, I was enjoying it. But for me, I see that it's different. For me, the best was already done. The best was already done. Because I'm a child of God. If he comes now, I will be there with him. So why am I waiting for the best? Because for them, the best, when they say the best, you must understand them. When they say the best, it's about material and physical. That's why they tell them the best is still to come. And everyone is happy, the best is still to come. Yes, brother, pastor, preach, the best is still to come. It's not about that. The best was already done. I've already received the best. There is nothing that God is going to give you, to give me and you that will be more important than what I've already received. Those who are in Jesus Christ are new creations. We are already renewed in Jesus. We live the life of Jesus. We are on the journey. God has taken us from where we have been to where he wants us to be. We are on that journey. On that journey, we'll have tribulations. On that journey, we'll have problems. On that journey, we'll meet the obstacles. But still, God will be with us. Because the journey started long ago. The day God gave me that opportunity to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That day, my journey started with the Lord. That day, I received the best of the Lord. I'm a child of God. We must boast in the Lord Jesus, not anything else. So that was what I wanted to say in my introduction. Now let me just deal with the physical healing quickly. I want just to look at the ministry of Jesus on earth, and I will be pointing out to six meanings of the healing that Jesus did during his ministry here on earth. First of all, the healing of Jesus the healings teach about faith. It was a teaching about faith sometimes. And you can see that in the book of Mark chapter 5, 34 and 36. That part of scripture, if you read it, you find it's the story of this woman who was bleeding. And she had that issue. And when she came, touched Jesus, she was healed. And when she was healed, something happened. Jesus asked, "Who has touched me?" And that conversation. But later on, when she was discovered that this is the woman, Jesus said what? "Your faith has done what? Has healed you." So faith was, in this instance, something that Jesus was teaching to say, faith can heal. At the same time, let me tell you the truth, that even if you are not healed, still keep your faith. Let me give this example of, maybe I wanted to touch it later on, but let me deal with it now. You can remember Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. When the king said, "You must bow to this image, otherwise we'll put you in the fire." There is something they said that's very, very important. They said, "King, listen to this. We know that our God is able to save us now. We know. But even if you throw us in that furnace, but still we will not give up on God. We will still serve God. It doesn't matter, get it or not, I keep my faith." It's not because you get, then you have faith in God. No. Even if it will die, die with your faith. But sometimes we are confused. We say, no, faith is believing in God no matter what. It's an attitude I have toward my God, that I know my God is able. I know God can heal me. I know God can deliver me from this situation. I know. But even if he doesn't do it, I still know that God can do it. Even if he doesn't do it. There are things I've believed in my life. I've never got to them. But that has not changed me. I remain who I am. I know that this is God. Even if he doesn't do it, he is still God. Steve was stoned. He never said, okay, now they are stoning me. Oh, God, Jesus, I give on you. No, he was there. Even when they were stoning him, he looked up and said, I see Jesus seated at the right hand of God the Father. Even in those difficult times, we must still believe God. We must still keep our faith. But the problem is faith comes by what you're hearing, and hearing and what you hear is the word of God. I want to say that faith, you can have a wrong faith or the right faith. Because if you listen to a wrong message, your faith is a wrong faith. So sometimes people suffer because of wrong messages. What did they hear? Then they question God. Because our prophet said, our pastor said, how come that my situation is still the same? Why? But let me tell you that God is God no matter what you are going through. He's not limited by your situation. He is God before you were born. He will be God after you are dead. He's still God. The only thing, we must have faith in him. Secondly, it shows Jesus' compassion on people. You see, now I want to go quickly, please. Time is not with me. The blind man who was a beggar, Jesus, the Bible says that he had compassion of him. So it showed that Jesus was a man of compassion. This is something we can learn about the physical healing. Just have compassion of the brother and the sister. It's not only about getting healing. No, just that compassion you have about someone who is suffering, assisting them, visiting them, talking to them, encouraging them, you can do something. So this is what we need. And thirdly, it also breaks social barriers. It's about the man with leprosy. That story, you know it, the man with leprosy. You know, in that time, when you are a leper, you are cast out. You cannot live in the community. You cannot even be touched. But Jesus could even touch those who had leprosy. So it means here that the healing of this leper man was just a sign, a meaning of the breaking of those barriers. There is no barrier, please. There is no racial barrier. There is no. Sometimes you find there are some churches. If you go there, the pastor can only visit you if you have something, you have money, you are well-fed. Then they visit you. If you are like, they know that this one, there is nothing they can get from him, you will never see your pastor visiting you. So those are barriers. They must be broken. So Jesus could heal people because of that. And sometimes also it challenges and exposes the law and exposes the nation's faithlessness. Of the Israelite, where Jesus could heal on the Sabbath day. Them, they were holding on the Sabbath. Hey, this is the day of the Lord. We must rest, no healing. But Jesus came to challenge them, to tell them that even on the Sabbath, you must do what is good. Again, he also spoke about sin. If we go to John chapter 5, 14. Then this is the man, Jesus, after healing him, said, told him, instructed him that, go, don't sin again. Because if you sin, something worse can happen to you. So it's not also that. So I'm not trying to explain everything. I'm running because of time. I wanted to finish what I have prepared. So, and the last one is about the kingdom of God. Jesus said that if what I do is by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. So healing also, it was a demonstration of the kingdom of God is there. The kingdom of God have come to people. Therefore, what is my conclusion about this part? My conclusion is the following. Physical healing is the exception and not the norm. Physical healing is just an exception. God can do it or not. He's not forced. It's not a norm. It's not a must. But it depends on God himself. Because remember our brother Paul, what did God tell him? My grace is sufficient for you. Finish. So it's not a norm. It's an exception. So we move to the second part, and then we'll finish. I want just to ask two questions here. Coming to the first book of Isaiah chapter 53, which we read, I ask the question, why was Jesus wounded? Why was Jesus wounded? The answer is very clear. Isaiah says that he was wounded because of our transgressions, our sins, our iniquities. These are things that made Jesus to be wounded. He was not wounded because of your malaria. He was not wounded because of your cancer. He was not wounded because of your HIV. He was not wounded because of whatever. But he was wounded because of your transgressions. Because of your sins. Because of my sins. Because of my transgressions. How do we reduce and minimize the work of Jesus to bring it just to the physical healing? That's not true. The truth is, he was healed. He was bruised. He was wounded because of our transgressions, because of our sins, because we went astray. We ran from God. We went our own ways. We wanted to do our own thing, our own stuff, to live our own culture, to live the way we want to live. That's what made Jesus to say, I must go and shed my blood. And for my blood to come out, for his blood to come out, he had to be wounded. He was wounded because of our transgression, our sins, our iniquities, our deeds were too bad. We offended God. Men offended God. And in the case of this scenario, God was the one who was offended, and as human beings, humanly, we were the people to go to God and say sorry. But God didn't do it that way. God did this. He, the offended, came with the solution to give to the offender. And the solution he gave himself to be the solution to the offender so that this can satisfy himself. Then that's why Jesus was wounded. He was wounded because of our transgression. And in other ways, he was wounded to bring us back to his Father. So that there is nothing to stop you from going to the Father. Two, how is healing administered? According to the word of God, it's by the word of God. We read it in this book of Mark chapter 2. If you read verse 5, it says, Jesus said to this man, your sins are forgiven. By giving the word of God, it's how we can bring healing in the life of others. It's the word of God. It must be spoken. Because if I am who I am today and what I am today, it's because someone from somewhere came, spoke about Jesus, and that touched me, and I could not resist. Then I believed. I gave my life to Jesus. Then it takes you and I to go also to tell others about the same Jesus, the same story, the same word, and that will touch their heart, and they will be brought to God. That's why you and I, we have to do that. Because Jesus was wounded for that. He bled because of that. Because he wanted the people to be restored back to God. Now I want us to draw some principles, then I will close. There are some principles that we must take home as we go today and in the week. Physical healing, I said it already, is not the... It's physical healing is the exception and not the norm. I removed that, the other note. It was the exception and not the norm. Just go with that. Even if you hear someone telling you, oh, man, of a child of God cannot be sick. Come, we pray for you. And then some people have gone even far. Yeah, it may be correct, whatever. But they say, okay, just sow your seed and then you'll be healed. Then people must sow their seeds for their healing. Yeah, I don't know. But then, number two. Spiritual healing is for those who believe in Jesus. So anyone who believes in Jesus, he is healed spiritually. So as I look in front of me, I see people who are healed spiritually. Though you are sick in your body, it doesn't matter. God is with you. He loves you. He knows about you. He sees you. He hears you. So nothing is hidden. Number three, we are healed and are being healed. Very important. We have been healed, but we are still on the process. Because we are on the journey. That's why I think it's John who says that if we say we don't have sin, then we do what? We lie. So you and I, we are still on that journey. That's why we must bear our burdens one another. When you see me doing something wrong, yeah, please come to me with love and tell me, brother, something is going wrong. With love, it will help me. Because I still need healing. I'm still in the flesh. Paul says that there are desires of the flesh. You know the desires of the flesh? Who can mention them? One, desire of the flesh. Envy. Greed, yes. What? Again? Drunkenness? Fornication? So there are all these. Paul calls them the work of the flesh. They are in the flesh. Somewhere there in Romans chapter 7 or 8, Paul says, I know that in me there is nothing good. In my flesh there is nothing good. Because I'm still in this flesh, I have to fight. As I'm fighting, God is faithful. Him who have started this good work in me, he will fulfill it. He will be healing me until that day when Jesus will come to fetch his church. And the last one, we should keep on trusting God no matter what we are going through, because he has given us the best. All the best we have it already, brothers and sisters. That's why even this month of Thanksgiving, why not just stop sometimes and just say, let me praise God. Let me just thank God because he has done great things for me. Because I should be put outside of the kingdom, but I'm inside. God has put me inside. He has invited me. He has called me. He has said to me, come. I want you to be my son, and I will be your father. Today, the creator of heaven and earth is our father and my father. Before God become my father, he's first our father. He's the father of all. Then he's also my personal father. So, brothers and sisters, in this life, we must be acknowledgeable to God, thankful to God, because he has given us the best that no one could give us, not even our ancestors, not even our forefathers, not even anyone in this world. But God, by his grace and mercy, what did you do, my brother? What have I done, my brother and my sister? Nothing. But God, through his mercy and grace, came to me, called me by name, And I am the child of God. So, as we even we pray for those who are sick, let us be reminded that healing depends on God. But there are people today who are the custodians of healing. There are some pastors, some prophets, some they are custodians of healing. Come, if you go to them, you must be healed. They are waiting for people to come. Just you come. Bring everyone, wherever, world, all over the world. You come, they will heal you. No, that is not gospel. Gospel must be founded on the truth. And the truth is that we have been healed from our sins, but physically, materially, we can still have problems. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations, but be of good courage. Why? Because I have overcome the world. So my brothers and sisters, this is what God has for us. This is not only your message. Myself, I'm concerned. I told you that I was one of those, but by the grace of God, I've understood and realized that it's not about what I thought. That physically, materially, because I'm a child of God, Jesus suffered, Jesus was naked on the cross, then I must be rich, I must be. Those are preachings from the pit of hell. The devil himself is the minister, is the one who's organizing those stuff so that people can be now running from one church to another, to one prophet, from one prophet to another prophet, just in search of healing, in search of marriage, in search of whatever. It is God who has restored us back to him through the wounds of Jesus Christ. We will not stop praying. We will always pray for the sick. But even if God doesn't heal them, we will still believe God for their healing. Even if they can die, we will still believe God. Because he is the master. He is the organizer. He knows why such happens, such doesn't happen, what happens, what is going on. He knows all of this, but we must only trust the Lord. So let us close our eyes as I pray. Father God Almighty, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to share with my brothers and sisters, Lord, about